And that's our study. Again, this week is knowing the Lord and moving into a growing into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. The only way you grow in your relationship is to know Jesus. The more you know Him, the more you will grow in Him. All right? So today we look at John chapter 6. We'll begin reading verse 1. We read where Christ fed the 5,000. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? John 6 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed Him because they saw the signs which He performed on those who were diseased. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up His eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward Him, He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this He said to test Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So they were filled. So when they were filled, He said to His disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow before You, seeking Your guidance as we look into Your Word today. Father, teach us. Teach us Your ways. Help us, Lord, to focus and to draw from Your Word. Help us that we may gain new insight and to know You more deeply than we have in days past. Father, I pray that through this message this morning, You shall be glorified and every hearer will be drawn closer to You. Father, I pray most of all today for those who do not know You as their personal Savior. I pray that today will be the day that they call upon You, asking for forgiveness of sin and trusting You as their personal Savior. Lord, do in this service as it pleases You. In Jesus' name, amen. Impossible. I love that word. How about you? Impossible. Have you ever heard people, when they were approached with something they didn't think they could do, they said, "Impossible." Well, that word's a problem. It's a problem in the lives of Christians today. It's a problem in churches today. And it's all too often used too frequently. Impossible. I can't do that. We can't do that. They can't do that. What do you do when you face the impossible? That's what we face here, an impossible situation. Jesus, in our text, it says a great multitude followed Jesus because they saw the miracles or the signs that He had performed. And Jesus, as He sees this great multitude coming toward Him, He asked Philip, one of His disciples, Where should we buy bread to feed all these? Now imagine, when it says 5,000, it says 5,000 men. Okay? That didn't count the women and children. So it was a big group, to put it mildly. He turns to Philip. He sees this multitude approaching. And he turns to Philip and says, Philip, where are we going to buy food so we can feed this great multitude? And it says that Jesus didn't ask him because he wanted to know what to do. Jesus knew what he was going to do. But rather, he asked Philip this question, it says, to test him. To find out. Or to reveal to Philip where he was in his walk with Jesus. You see, at this point, Jesus does know what he's going to do. He even knows how Philip's going to answer this question. So I want you to get the point of this test from the very beginning. It's to reveal to Philip where he is in his relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why I asked the question. And as Philip responds, we immediately see where his heart is. Philip says to Jesus, what, 200 denarii would not be enough so that everyone could have a little? 200 denarii of bread would not be enough so that everybody could just take a bite. Well, now, you have to understand also, one denarii was the equivalent of a day's pay. So when Philip answers this question, he says, we could work for 200 days' pay and go buy all the bread that would buy, and that wouldn't be enough so that everyone could have a little bite. So what Philip is saying, it cannot be done. Impossible. But Jesus is testing Philip. Now there are two kinds of tests. There's tests that Satan brings your way, and these are the ones we often think of the test as, you know, when you're tempted. You're tempted to sin, you're committed or you're tempted to commit sexual sins or adultery or to lose your temper and say things you shouldn't say. And Satan, as he puts you in those circumstances, he's watching and he's just saying, yeah, I got him that time. Well, there's another test. This test, this kind of test, is not given by Satan, but rather God puts us in this place. And the purpose of the test is designed to show you. Now listen, God already knows where you are. The purpose of the test is designed to show you where you are in your walk with Jesus. Because God already knows. Let me ask you a question. Do you really want to know where you are in your walk with Jesus? How often have you been given opportunity, and the first thought that comes to your mind is, I can't? I hate those two words. The longer I pastor, the more I hate those two words. Because I've heard it a lot. I've even used it during my ministry. Yeah? You look at this situation, opportunity, whatever you want to call it, and the first thought is, there's no way, there's no hope, I'll never be able to do that. So most often, the life of Christians today, we see an opportunity, oh, I can't do that, we forget it. And we never grow. For example, you're asked to fill in, teach a class. You know how many people I've asked to fill in and teach class through the years? You know what the most popular answer is? I can't. You can't take one Sunday? You know, you've been saved for 30 years, but you can't take one Sunday and present some kind of lesson? It makes no sense. I've had people tell me all the time, Brother Doug, I know I should witness. I know I should tell others about Jesus. And I have these people on my heart. And I've even had people say, Brother Doug, would you come and let's go visit this guy together because I want him to find out about Jesus. And my first thought is, tell him. Tell him. I just can't, Brother Doug. I can't talk about it. I can't. I'm afraid I'll say something. I just can't. People ask to serve in committees or whatever positions. And the first thing, the first thought in their mind is, I can't. Here's your problem. Here's our problem. Right? It is that we're focused on our ability, not God's ability. Here's my question for you. Everybody ready for the question? Have I got your attention? Okay. Here's my question. Before you say, I can't, whether it's serving, witnessing, filling in somewhere, before you say, I can't do that, answer this question. Is your God God? Is your God God? Or is He not? You see, you got to know your God. You got to find out what your God's capable of. Matthew 19:26. You know what Matthew 19:26 says about the God Jesus that we serve? It says, with God, all things are possible. That's the God that I serve. Matthew 17:20 says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, here's the deal. Here's the scenario. Nothing is impossible to God. If I have faith in God, nothing will be impossible to me. Amen? Is that not what that says? Absolutely. What am I driving? Brother Doug, what are you trying to say? Get rid of the phrase, I can't, because your God can through you. Now, I'm not telling you, you know, do something that God's not leading you to do. And I'm not. I'm telling you to live like your God's God. It's pretty simple. You see, God puts us in these situations to show us where we are. And when we fall short, boy, I just don't think I can do that. Just stop right there. Stop right there. And decide, is your God God or is He not? And if He's not, then you need to come up with another excuse, because I can't doesn't wash. You know? Amen? I can't doesn't wash. Second thing. There was an impossible situation. There was an improbable solution. Do you know how ridiculous this story is? How absolutely ridiculous. Jesus asked the question to other disciples in Matthew 14:15. It talks about the same account. The other disciples, they said, send them away. We can't do anything for them. Just send them away. Philip says, we don't have the money to buy bread. Andrew had the idea. Andrew says, well, there's a lad here who has 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what is that among so many? What is that among so many? Now, you have to understand, his disciples have already seen Jesus turn water into wine. His disciples have seen him give sight to the blind, heal the sick, and heal the lame. They've seen him do multiple miracles. But yet, when faced with this question, what are we going to do now? Nobody comes to the, it does not come to anyone's mind. Hey, we're with Jesus. He's the Son of God. He can do anything. No one thought, give Jesus the fish and watch what He's done, or watch what He does. You know, I want to stand beside Him at this point and say, give Him the fish. Oh, there's too many people, you know, there's no way this will work. Give Him the fish. Oh, it won't do any good. Give Him the fish. It's a waste of time. Give him the fish. You ever feel like that as a child of God? You know, I've heard people, not only do we use camp, but, you know, my little talent, my little contribution, it doesn't amount to anything. Give it to Jesus. Give him the fish. You see, faith is not based upon what you can do with what you have, but rather faith is based on what Jesus can do with what you give him. Andrew says, well, there's a guy here, this kid here, he got a little bag, a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. And what is that among so many? It's more than enough when it's placed in the hands of Jesus. See, Jesus has a history of doing the impossible. Do you know that's the Jesus we serve? We don't act like that's the Jesus we serve. We evaluate and logically step everything out and decide what we can do and what we can't do. No, this is Jesus we're talking about. We don't have to be logical. We just have to be Jesus-led. You know? I'm not telling you to do anything again. I'm not telling you to do anything that Jesus is not leading you to do. But I am telling you, don't count it out just because it looks impossible. Jesus has a history of doing the impossible. I have to look in my personal life. Y'all have no idea. You may think, well, I realize I am not the best speaker in the world. Okay? But you have no idea where I came from. You talk about a country boy. I was country. I could not finish a sentence, let alone create an understandable thought. But God called me to preach. When I quit my job, I'll never forget, the sidelines were filled with people saying, "Don't do it. You've got kids, Doug. Don't you quit your job. God's called me to preach. I'm going to go into ministry full time. Don't do it. You're not that good." I know. But God's calling. God sent me to Mississippi. Again, people on the sidelines said, "Don't do it. Don't go." You know what I've discovered about my God? Now listen, I'm not rich. But my bills have always been paid, my kids have always been fed, and I've had want for nothing. All time. Because that's my God. That's who Jesus is. If you give Jesus the fish. And it's not just personal. Jesus has a history here at Victory. You know, sometimes, and I know you've heard it, but I want you to think about it this morning. This church was started by a handful of people who met in a restaurant. What were they doing? They were giving Jesus the fish. After a period of time, they decided, "Hey, we need to buy some property." I'll bet you, I was not here, but I'll bet you there were people on the sideline saying, "You can't afford that. Have you lost your mind?" But they bought property. They gave Jesus the fish. Then somebody got the bright idea of building a building. I'll bet you again, if you were here, you can back this up. But I bet there were people on the sideline saying, "Don't do it. You can't afford a new building. Don't do it." You built it anyway. Then 10 years ago, you decided the worship space that you had was too small, and it was. So you built a larger worship center that we enjoy today. I can guarantee you, when they looked at the price tag of this building, there were some who said on the sideline, said, do not do it. Get away from it. No, we can't afford that. But guess what? God built it. Now, I was here with the second renovation, and we had a sideline full of people saying, we can't afford that. That's too much money. Listen, I love you if you said that, but listen, not only did we afford it, God paid it off. What's my point? My point is this. We serve God. And whether we're in this church or whether we're living our own personal lives, we need to act like God is God, because He is. You want to know why you don't see the mighty hand of God? Because you don't trust Him. We don't trust Him. Just bring Jesus the fish. Bring Him the fish. Never sell Jesus short concerning what He can do with what little bit you bring Him. See, that's the problem with a lot of people. They never bring Him that little bit that they do have, so they never see what He can do. And finally, there was a very impressive outcome. Jesus gave thanks. It says they gave Him the fish, and He gave thanks for the fish and the bread, and He gave it to His disciples. I bet you, when Jesus was praying, thank you, Lord, for providing this food. Bless it to the nourishment of our bodies. And whatever He prayed, I don't know what He prayed. But I bet old Judas was saying, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. He got a little sack lunch. I bet old Doubting Thomas was sitting over there saying, this will never work. Then after Jesus blessed it, He gave it to His disciples. They began to pass it out. The longer they passed it out, the more they realized, hey, this thing isn't running. We're not running out of food. What's going on? They keep passing and keep passing, and they're thinking, what's going on? This food should have ran out a long time ago. What's going on? I can tell you what was going on. Jesus was going on. Isn't that the coolest thing ever? When we allow Jesus to be Jesus, good things happen. I've often been, you know, when they got done and everybody had eaten, it says they took up 12 baskets of leftovers. Can you imagine? I've had people say, you know, what do you think the significance of the 12 baskets were? And some think it was representing the 12 tribes of Israel. I don't know, maybe it was. Others say it was so the 12 disciples could take a basket home with them. I don't know, maybe it was. Here's what I do know. Those 12 who passed it out had to go back and pick it up. Now these were guys, when it all started, were just convinced this was impossible. There's nothing we can do. This is not going to work. They've passed it out and they've had to be amazed from passing it out. Now, after they've passed it out, Jesus says, hey, boys, get a basket. Go take it up. And every one of them go back and refill their basket. And they've got to think, wow. Wow. What happened? What happened is Jesus was Jesus. Somewhere in this process, here's what I want you to get. Somewhere in this process, they had to learn, nothing is impossible for Jesus. Nothing. Are you ready? Last point. If you're going to walk with Jesus, you must learn to trust in Jesus. If you're going to walk with Jesus, you're going to have to learn to trust in Jesus. That was the point. Jesus knew Philip's faith was not where it ought to be, so he asked him this question. And now Philip has been one of the ones that pass out the food and go and take up the food. Somewhere it has to register, hey, this Jesus is, He's Jesus. There's nothing that He can't do. Have you ever noticed that there are just some people who grow more than others? you look at people and you just have to admire them, because it just seems they have just blossomed and grown in their relationship with God. And then there are others. They were saved 40 years ago, and they're the same today as they were 40 years ago. What's the difference? This is the difference. You see, some people, when they see what Jesus is capable of, it just lights their fire because they want more. And then there are some people who don't have enough confidence in Jesus to ever step out and do anything in faith. Those are the ones that don't grow. You say, "Brother Doug, what do you got up your sleeve? We're going to go into a big building program? Not that I know of." "You're going to start something of a new program?" Not that I know of. I just know this is the right message for the right day, today. Okay? And my challenge to me, you see, I have to preach this to me before I preach it to you. The challenge to me is that Jesus can do anything but fail. Now live like Jesus is God, because He is. Quit worrying about everything. Quit getting caught up in the details. Quit saying, "How's this going to..." No, just let Jesus be Jesus. That's my challenge to you. Let Jesus be Jesus. See, I think that oftentimes we use the excuse, "I can't," when we should say, "I don't want to." Don't we? "I don't want to put in the effort. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go out there on a limb. I'm afraid what..." Jesus is Jesus. Live like it. Okay? Next challenge you have in this life, and it looks like things are crumbling in around you, listen, Jesus is Jesus. And if He's your Savior, there's nothing He can't do. Trust Him. I don't know, the more I thought about this, the more excited I became. I truly, you know, I don't know what next week holds. But beloved, I know who holds next week. And if there's some things that I can't handle, there's nothing that Jesus can't handle. Let me ask you a question. Are you living with that confidence today? You see, the only way I can live with that confidence is because I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. Right? It's not about what I can do, it's about what He can do. And I know, because He died for my sins, and because I got on my knees one day when I was a young man, and I cried out to Him asking forgiveness of my sin, and placing my faith and my trust in Him, in Jesus, as my Savior, I asked Him to save me. And guess what happened? The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved," and I was saved. Now today, I know, listen, life's not always good, is it? But I know I never face anything alone. Never. Never, ever. Because Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Do you have that confidence? If you don't have that confidence today, I want to challenge you. You need to be saved. Maybe you're here today and you're one of those who are facing the impossible, or what seems just too big, too impossible. No, listen. Trust Jesus. Pray about it. Bring Him the fish. And watch what He does. I heard a preacher say one time, I thought it was kind of sad. He said, "I don't believe Jesus does miracles anymore." And I have no doubt Jesus didn't do any miracles in His life, because there was a lack of faith. Listen, I know a lot of miracles of the Old Testament, or of the Bible days, were done so that people would believe. And I know that today we have the Word of God. But I also know that God is still God. He can take the most impossible situation and work it out for His glory. You trust Him? You trust Him? Do you trust Him? Amen. Let Jesus be Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. Lord, I love You. And I thank You that we don't have to live in fear. That we don't have to live in worry. That we don't have to let opportunity pass us by. Because You're God. And we belong to You. Now, Lord, in this invitation, I pray for those who do not know You as their personal Savior. I pray that right now You'll convict them of their sin. You'll draw them to You. And they will walk down this aisle and give their heart, their life to You. Father, for those who have been living in doubt and fear, just remind them today of who You are. You created the universe. Our little problems are not a problem for You. Father, I trust in You. I look to You, not because I can do things or my personal ability, but I look to You because You are God. Father, be God in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you